Welcome to Shatterproof. I am your host, Todd Callahan. I pray that wherever you are and whatever you are doing, that God is using you to change the world. I pray that there are spaces and places that you walk into and you are just changing that environment with the glory of God that is all over you. You know, over the past couple of years, the past 4 years or so, I guess, you know, we've heard voices from all different places, from political to spiritual, from educational to religious. You know, we've heard a lot of prophetic voices and a lot of political voices projecting where they believe that we're headed as a culture and as a nation. And so many people take what is spoken on social media or in the news for face value without any discernment injected into their thought process. And I want to suggest that it is time for us to wake up as a nation. This week, President Donald Trump, there was an attempted assassination of him at a rally in Pennsylvania. And it is amazing to me that we still have people in this nation that as soon as that happens, begin to make social media posts about how the shooter could miss and how upset they were that he wasn't assassinated and killed. And so we live in a society where the denigration of virtue and the lack of morality and the lack of humanity and the lack of a value system that reflects the goodness and the goodwill of mankind seems to be lost. And I want to suggest we've got to wake up. And listen, the enemy is real. Understand, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in heavenly places. The devil is mad. The devil is upset. He is running rampant all over the world, and he hates what God is doing. I've been telling our church for the last several years, I believe that we are on the precipice of one of the greatest moves of God that this nation, that America has ever seen. And so he hates what God is doing, which means we are exactly where we are supposed to be for such a time as this. Can you believe that you and I were born for such a time as this right now, that we are alive on the earth? And I know it seems like hell on earth everywhere you look. I know it seems like there's chaos and it looks like there is just such a morality breakdown around the nation. But what an honor to be born for such a time as this, to have the opportunity to be a world changer, to have the opportunity to go into the places that God sends you and I, and we get to impact those areas. And you see, now as believers, it's more important that God's truth remain truth, even when culture is pressing to force you to believe something else and agree with it or be silenced. And that's where we are in this generation and in this culture right now, where if you don't agree with some kind of demonic, immoral reality and truth, there is an attempt to silence you because you are going to be branded, you're going to be labeled, you're going to be marked, you're going to be cast aside because you don't go along with this cultural narrative. And speaking for myself as a pastor, I must obey God because we need uncompromising voices right now. And I need to give this sphere that God has given me, the word of the Lord, without regard for fear of backlash. Every single one of us need to be able to speak the truth of God in love in the sphere that he gives us to reach. That is your space. That is your territory to occupy until he comes. And I believe that the church needs to wake up and gather herself in preparation for the greatest move of God, but also the greatest attack that we have seen in modern history. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, this is Jesus talking. This isn't casual reading. This is the Savior of the world speaking. And he says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." So even the elders, even the deacons, even the pastors, even other Christians. This isn't a New Testament thing. This was even in the Old Testament too. This isn't a New Testament phenomenon. I want you to hear from the word of God, just in case you thought there was a delineation between God and Jesus, which there is not. Jesus is God, God is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is in Jesus. They are three in one. They are all equally God. They are co-equal. They are in perfect unity. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Bible says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me coming from among you from your countrymen, you shall listen to him. Now, this is Moses talking. Now, the word prophet is a prophetic declaration that who is coming is Jesus. He says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 16, this is according to all that you asked of the Lord, your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Now listen to this. Pastors and believers going around not wanting to talk about this stuff or agreeing with what's happening right now in the culture to try and not tick people off and make people upset. It just, I tell you what, it gets under my skin. Well, Pastor, we can't talk about things that are happening in the culture. We can't talk about things that are happening politically because some of my largest givers don't want to hear that stuff, so I can't talk about it. So that tells you the kind of faith that they have. That tells you the kind of lack of kingdom mandate that they carry. Goes on to say, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. I'm telling you, people better stop playing games with God. People have got to stop playing games with God. People need to stop playing games with the name of Jesus. There are too many people that are hurting, that are wounded, that are looking for truth. And if you are not serious about the things of God and you are playing with his word because of your own agenda, you better sit down. You need to just give up your pulpit, give up your microphone, sit down, because you're doing nothing but causing harm to what the enemy's using you in a way to cause harm to the kingdom. The Bible says that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, verse 21, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. So some people are mad because they got a word from the Lord and it didn't come to pass. So you need to know, if it didn't come to pass, know there's a difference in it has not yet come to pass and it didn't come to pass. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Do not be afraid. Don't be intimidated of preachers and prophets who talk a good game and then God doesn't back it up. You don't have to listen anymore. He's saying, don't be afraid of them. Don't elevate them. Just because they sound good doesn't mean it is good or it is God. So I don't care what attacks come your way or how much pressure you get from the outside. Don't you listen to voices that are not of God. I am sick and tired of seeing Christian television, voices on Christian television, voices on all over social media and in Christian media, and they are taking the kingdom and they are watering it down and trying to simplify it to make it seem as though the expectations that God is requiring of his people for such a time as this are not necessary. In other words, just sit back, feel good about the fact that you're saved and you're going to heaven, and watch the world go to hell. I don't believe that is the mandate that Jesus has called us to. If we are going to occupy until he comes, that means we are going to have to get involved in political conversations and political spaces. That means we need people on school boards. We need people in governmental positions. We need strong Christian leaders in the church. We need pastors who are fearless. We need pastors who will never shut their churches down again. I'm still dumbfounded at the fact that we had churches all over this nation and pastors who shut their churches down at the mandate of a governor because a president said so. So we took the word of God and we put it on the shelves and we said, I can't have services because the governor told me not to. I can't have services because our local city council said it was a violation and they were going to fine me if I had services. I mean, to look back at all of the pastors around my area where I'm pastoring now, and to think that we were the only church open, the only church that was taking fire, the only church that was being blown up in the media and all kinds of things being said about us because we kept our church open, tells me that I'm surrounded by a bunch of cowards. You say, Pastor Todd, that's a pretty heavy thing to say. I'm surrounded by a bunch of cowards. And I know that there was a space and time where people were trying to figure things out. We were trying to figure things out. But a time came where we said, you know what, this is not right. We are going to make sure we are having services. Our church is open and we are having services. I don't care what the backlash is. I don't care what fire comes our way, what storms come our way. We're going to have services. I don't care what kind of pressure comes your way. Don't you stand for what is ungodly to preserve your likability in the eyes of your community or your family or your friends. And people are going to try and trap you. This is where we're really good at this in culture right now. We're really good at trapping people. We've become really good as a society at creating false narratives and then taking those false narratives and talking about them like they're truth. And I think it was Barack Obama who made a comment years ago that if you say it enough, if you say a lie enough times, it eventually becomes a truth. I think it was Obama that said that. I'm not 100% sure. But people are going to try to back you into a wall and force you to agree with what they believe. And if you don't, they're going to make sure there's fire that comes your way. I don't know about you, but I got Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. If you honor the word of God and live by its truth, he will use the word to protect you. 2 Timothy 4, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to make sure the kingdom, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus is going forth and that it is realigning, it is rebuking, and it is correcting the areas of our life, our culture, our society, our communities, the places that we are sent by God to touch, that it is fixing those areas. We've got to preach the word. And listen, in case you didn't know, there are people who get up on Sunday and don't preach the word. They preach their imagination. They preach their agenda. They will preach from emotion, but not preaching the word. There was a men's conference that Pastor Mark Driscoll was at not too long ago, and I forget the name of the organization, the church, or whoever it was that had this this big pole put up in the middle of this men's conference, and this male stripper-looking guy came in, and he started doing all kinds of things on a pole in this men's conference, and that is somehow acceptable. That is somehow not lustful. That is somehow not perverse. And then when the next morning, Pastor Mark Driscoll gets up and he begins to rebuke everything that happened, the pastor or the leader that brought that person in to do that performance, whatever he was doing, I saw little highlight clips of it on YouTube. And he rebuked Pastor Mark for rebuking that moment and told him to that he was done. Get off the stage. You're done. So Pastor Mark Driscoll walked off the stage. They preach their imagination, they preach their agenda, they preach from emotion but not preaching the word. They will water down the gospel, they will tickle the ear, and they will do everything that they can do to be liked. Be ready in season and out of season. You know, I'll never forget, I was walking in a mall in Virginia with my wife one time, and we walked into this store that was selling some really unique clothing items, and two ladies caught me in the store in Virginia, and we had a Holy Ghost prayer service right there in the middle of that store for their sons. And, you know, she began to ask me what I did. I told her I pastored, and she, you know, just kind of tilted her head back and said, oh, Lord, I need you to pray for my sons. They're lost. They're going through some stuff. I really need you to pray. So right there in the middle of that store, this lady and her coworker, my wife, we held hands and we prayed, and the power of God began to fall. And you know, if you catch me at the grocery store, we're probably going to have a conversation about the God I serve, because you're going to come up and say, hey, pastor, what's going on? How you doing? And I got something something that God's doing. I'm going to begin to share it with you. I'm past those days of trying to whisper about what I do and who I am. I serve God, and I'm a preacher of the gospel. And wherever I go, whoever God brings into my life, I am sick and tired of people thinking that pastors have got to be cowards, that we've got to be sitting in our spiritual lazy boy, and that the only time we get to talk about God is on Sunday morning when somebody comes to hear about it. In any other space and place that we go, we don't have the right to inject the word of God because it's not being asked of us to do that. Listen, wherever I am, if I walk into a room and I'm not changing the atmosphere as soon as I walk in the room, then there's something I'm missing in my personal devotion and relationship with God. Because as soon as I walk in that room, there ought to be something tangible in my life. The Holy Spirit ought to be on me in an incredible way, and the anointing of God ought to be pouring out of me, that when I walk into that room, there is a shift in that atmosphere because of what I carry and what you carry. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, the Bible says. Everybody wants church to make me feel good. We've had that the last 20 years. How's that working out? When you rebuke, exhort, and reprove, that means somebody's going to get offended. I am over how people say, well, I don't go to church because I got hurt in church. Great. Church is made up of imperfect people, imperfect pastors. You're going to get hurt. And if you use the imperfection of somebody's life as an excuse not to go to church, as we've been commanded to go to not forsake the assembling of the saints, as is the habit of some, you have now become some, and you use your hurt as an excuse. So you don't want to be healed because you want the excuse to give you a right not to have to go to church. So now you have no spiritual accountability. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give. You don't have to serve. You don't have to build relationship with people. And you're going to turn around and blame people for the very thing that you could be healed from, but you choose not to because you enjoy the excuse. Timothy says, 2 Timothy 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. I used to think it was the leaders that were wayward, but that's not true. The leaders are not leaders at all. They're just people who've been propped up by people who pay to hear what they want to hear. That's why pastors don't preach certain things, because they know what the biggest givers don't want to hear. So to keep the money, they withhold God's truth. Man, I am preaching right now on this podcast. The Holy Spirit's just dropping it on me right now. He says in verse 4, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. We've got to wake up. The church is a nonprofit organization. And listen, at the end of the year, now let me tell you where we are in America, right? The church is a nonprofit organization. At the end of the year, you get a statement. And at the bottom of that statement, it says, no goods or services were given in exchange for this donation. So there are only spiritual and tangible benefits. Now, I don't like that sentence, but you're required by law to put that on the statement, because that's the only way you can get a credit with the government. You know, in the Old and New Testament, there was no taxable benefit for tithing. It was just faith. It was just obedience. It was just honoring God. And if you ever got credit with the government, you got credit with heaven. So you got credit with the kingdom, which is the only government that truly matters. When you tithe, God sits down and takes a test with your faith and begins to crank on heaven's windows. And the Bible says that when you tithe, the devourer is then rebuked off of your life. And I don't believe the statement that we have to add to your giving statement is right, you know, where we put down there, you know, no goods or services in exchange. Because when I tithe, I get spiritual, tangible benefits. Is there anybody who tithes that knows that God moves when you sow? When you tithe, God blesses. When you tithe, he rebukes the devourer. When you tithe, he blocks curses. When you tithe, stuff happens unexpectedly. When you tithe, your finances get in order. When you tithe, God shows up and shows off. Is there anybody who can be a living witness that when you sow into God's kingdom, according to his word and his way, he shows up every single time? Now hear me. He doesn't say you get everything you want. That's not the promise. Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. He's not obligated to give you your preferences. He's obligated to give you what you need. And some people are so ungrateful that we haven't even thanked him for what he's given us. And before we go down the list of what he hasn't done yet, we should take time to give God thanks that you are breathing on your own. You need to every day just thank God that you're alive, your kids are alive, you've got a job, you've got food in your kitchen, you've got electricity, you can pay your rent or your mortgage, that you get to drive a car. Gratitude goes a long way. And too many Christians are spending their time cursing this season in history instead of being grateful that you are alive to change it. We cannot in 2024, this is July of 2024. I just finished watching some of the RNC convention tonight, and my friend Charlie Kirk did an amazing job with his speech tonight. And I'm listening to everybody speak, and I'm listening to people talk about unifying the nation. And President Trump walks in, and he's got a patch over his ear from where he had been shot earlier this week. And everybody seems unified. We've got to get to a place where the crisis is not what unifies us anymore. You know, when 9/11 happened in America, churches were full. When COVID happened in America and churches were being told to shut down, people flocked to churches that were open and defying the ungodly mandates that were being handed down by governors. Why is it that we have to wait for a crisis to occur before we get engaged in what God has called us to be engaged in every single day of our life? When you come to church on a Sunday morning, you ought to be prayed up, worshiped up. You ought to have devotion just filling your life. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What kind of word is God giving you for such a time as this? It's one thing to say, well, you know, I'm tired. I've been going through this Christian journey for such a long time. And let me just speak to people who have been saved a long time. Maybe you're a leader and you've been in church ministry and leadership for a very, very long time. And you're like, you know, I'm tired. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there is work to be done. We cannot go sit in a spiritual lazy boy and get comfortable watching everybody else do the work and the job that God's called you and I to do. We have too many churches without a prophetic gift in them. We have too many churches who have prophets who are for profit, if you catch my pun there. And when you have a prophet for profit, they will say what you want to hear so they can get what's in your hands. I'm saying that because I've been in ministry my entire life. I've been in circles. I've been in rooms. I've been sitting at tables with people who that's for. That's why I don't watch a lot of Christian television. I'm not saying they're all like that, but there are some. But what you sow, you're not going to, you know, what you sow, you're not going to get a return on, because God did not tell them to say that. So you're sowing based on your own imagination and or your own agenda. And God is not obligated to bless that. I've heard, well, pastors talk too much about politics. Listen, abortion is not American politics. Homosexuality is not American politics. Transgenderism is not American politics. Racism is not American politics. God addresses it all in the word, but it's been hijacked by the prince and power of the air, along with government indoctrination, in an attempt to minimize the influence of God's kingdom in the earth. We don't have enough people who are preaching an offensive gospel anymore. People want what I call this Cinnabon gospel. I'll tell our church that we don't preach a Cinnabon gospel here. People want that Cinnabon gospel, sweet and sticky. It smells good, and you leave and you feel good with some sugar left on your lips, but you've got no tools to fight against what the enemy is sending to destroy your faith and knowledge of the word of God. There's nothing to stop the desensitizing of your spirit to the things of the culture. But pastor, what if they don't like me? What if my coworkers don't like me? What if my family gets upset that I'm saying what I'm saying and I've got the faith that I got? Good. Listen, who would want to kill Jesus? Why would you want to kill Jesus? Most people he met loved him. He healed everybody that he was able to reach. He didn't play favorites. He didn't have special meetings with the largest givers. Jesus hung out with the unpopular people, the lepers, the tax collectors, the sinners. Let me put it in cultural context, at the bar with the twerkers. And the church is like, oh, that's nasty. We got to stay away from all those people. But you're watching it. You go to concerts and you watch it. You go to the movies and you watch it. It's easy to judge when nobody can check your browser history. Come on, somebody. It's easy to judge when nobody can see what you're watching on Netflix or Hulu. So you're quick to put somebody in hell, but you're nasty at home. And Christians are like, can you believe she wore that short dress to church and you just watched a movie with nudity up all in it on Saturday night and then you come to church, lift your hands, and then judge somebody that just walked in? And some unsaved person is trying to come to church and get their life right and you're judging? Why is it in this culture Christians don't mind carnal people preaching to them? Because false prophets will tell you everything you want to hear, and they will give you a sprinkle of Jesus on top of their sugar-coated gospel, and they will tell you that you can live however you want to and still be blessed, and they'll tell you that you can live in your sin and God understands. False prophets will tell you that you can play both ends against God's will, and that's why your life is whack. We need some prophetic voices and people who will preach the word of God and not care what happens, because there is a wide road and there's a narrow road. And there's a lot of people screaming about that wide road. And there's a lot of people that want to be loved and accepted. And when you walk in humility and truth, people will walk away, and that's okay. There's a lot of people that will stay with you as long as it's beneficial to them. I mean, how many friends did Moses lose when he went from the prince of Egypt to a pauper in Midian? And they thought it was over, but when he turned 80 years old, he comes walking back in. God doesn't microwave prophets. There are not Pop-Tart prophets. Prophets are built through tears, prayers, and intercession. They are built through service and sacrifice. And then prophetic voices show up with that mandate and they begin to speak. But the church is in trouble because there are not many people who are preaching the truth, because everybody wants to be popular and everybody wants to be liked. We need uncompromising voices, unashamed voices, undiluted voices, and voices that cannot be bought. It's not for sale. The pulpit is not for sale. I don't care what people say about me. I'm going to preach the gospel as it is. I've had people lie about me. I've had people make all kinds of jokes about me. I've had people put memes of wolf's heads on me, making memes out of me. I've had people that are close to me lie about me, say things about me, all kinds of stuff that are vile. And so I've got to keep preaching the gospel in spite of all of those things, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I've got to leave those kinds of things in the hands of God. When people lie about you, when people are stirring up false statements about you, and they are trying to create a false narrative about something that you don't even know about, that you've not even participated in, you've not even been a part of, but somebody who can't stand you enough, really what it is, they can't stand themselves. And because they are upset with themselves and they don't like who they see in the mirror every single day, you become a target based on your proximity to the one that they don't like, which is themselves. And because God's blessing you and they are favor haters and they can't stand to see what God is doing in your life, all they can do is lie about you, post about you, say things about you, and try to stir up all kinds of vile, demonic evil to come against you. So this truth that you speak, this life that you and I represent, it's going to cost you something. But I believe that there's a generation of people on this earth right now. Listen, the truth is sometimes people think their pastor should be a spiritual Dave Letterman, so to speak. The gospel, you should get up on Sunday morning and tell a bunch of jokes. Those days are over. Do you remember those churches back then where you'd walk in and the pastor would spend 15 minutes telling jokes? And he'd make everybody laugh. He'd give them a little bit of Bible and, they'd sing a little song and they'd go home. They feel good about themselves. Those days are over. If your pastor didn't say anything about the fact that President Trump had an attempted assassin take him out this past week, you need to find a new church. If you go to a church and they don't talk about this ungodliness that's happening in this culture, and they're not preaching that God created man and woman to be married and that's it, not man and man and not woman and woman, you need to go find another church. If you go to a church where your pastor is not saying God did not make a mistake in the gender he created you, the Bible says he made male, he made female. And guess what? No matter how they feel about themselves, they can't change it. If your pastor is not talking about how ungodly and sinful that is, you need to find a new church. But we've got a lot of pastors that won't say those things because they're tickling the ear. They've sugarcoated the gospel. They make going to church some social event instead of preaching the kingdom to encourage, equip, and train believers to occupy the spaces God has given them until he comes. I don't know where you are at in this culture right now in your life. I don't know what your journey has held. I don't know what your tomorrow holds for you. Only God does. But what I can tell you is we need holy prophets. We need pastors who are unafraid. We need pastors who preach sound theology. We need people in the body of Christ to begin replicating the truth of the Word of God. I can look in Scripture and you can look in Zechariah where he talked about holy prophets. In Acts 3, he talks about holy prophets. Paul talks about holy prophets. There's a difference between a prophet and a holy prophet. Holy means set apart, sanctified. We need holy voices right now in America. The Bible says if a prophet speaks and it does not come to pass, you are not afraid. You are not to be afraid of them. When Samuel walked into Bethlehem to anoint David, the Bible said the leaders of the city trembled because they knew there was a man of God coming. When you walk into a room, you ought to carry something that makes people shift their conversation if their conversation is ungodly. When you walk into a room, there ought to be a tangible shift because of the anointing that you carry. So I'm praying for pastors, I'm praying for leaders, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would elevate you in the places that he's put you in. I'm praying that God is going to determine for you this next season to be an incredible season of strength, of power, of anointing. I pray the anointing of God touch you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I pray that every place that you go, when you walk in that room, you change that atmosphere. God's created you to be a world changer. He's created you to be an environment shifter, to walk into a room and change that environment. I pray that there's a brand new oil that God pours on your life and you walk in a brand new anointing. Listen, I love you. I'm praying for you. I pray that God releases you to the greatest season of your life. Do not be afraid. Be bold. Preach the gospel. Speak the truth in love. Go after the heart of God. Release the kingdom that he's put within you everywhere you go and watch what God will do through your life. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'll see you on the next episode of Shatterproof. Now go change the world.